Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview, and today over the phone we are joined by Representative Christine Watkins for this week's legislative update. And you know, it's only been a week since we last talked, Representative Watkins, but it feels like so much has happened up on the Capitol Hill. Thanks as always for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and it's the nature of the beast. We don't sit around and not do something.
You know, you don't have any time to, because this 45-day session is just running so quickly. You got to really stay on task constantly if you want to try and accomplish all the things you're aiming to do. And, you know, it's been a busy week up there. It's been a busy week down here. But one of the platforms that you ran on coming into this re-election cycle was, and it's something you've always really endorsed, is that of coal power. And here in the Castle Country, that's been a major getter for our economy, both in Emory and Carbon counties.
Absolutely. It is who we are. Obviously, we're not mining coal in Carbon County anymore, but our neighbor is. And when I received the news about Skyline and the flooding that happened there, you know, I was heartbroken. I put it out even on my Facebook. I've only been in one mine, and I was in it twice, and that's Skyline. So I know how wet it is, but to have it flood again and in such a devastatingly way. So I'm just grateful everyone's well. No one was killed or hurt. And I just want to give a big shout out to everyone that's up there working really hard, because their coal is really important for our state power. It's a special kind of coal, has a high BTU, and we really need it. Everyone here is a little concerned. So I just want to say, about the good work.
Yeah, no, the coal from Skyline truly is incredible. It's world renowned. People love that Skyline mine coal. So, and you know, as devastating as this is right now, one thing we know about the coal mining community is that they will find a way to overcome this, and they will find a way to bounce back. That's just the kind of people they are. The people that get into the coal mines are just so resilient.
Yes, they are.
Now, another thing that happened along that Carbon County Sanpete border recently, the Gooseberry Narrows finding itself kind of almost coming to a conclusion. This is an ongoing battle that has been happening for the longest time. So for people who aren't really familiar with it, can you explain what the Gooseberry Narrows project is and where we sit with it?
Okay, well, it started a long time ago, longer than a lot of us have ever even been alive, but there's water. Sanpete County wants this water, and they won a lawsuit. And in the, 2012, somewhere in there, 2014, that this water was there. So they won that lawsuit. Then they started thinking that they were going to build the reservoir. The hard part about this is that they have to take water out of Schofield. It would never be returned, and their water would go their way. Well, the Army Corps of Engineers did some research, did whatever they do, and they shut them down and said, no, you can't do this. And I think this was in 2017. So we've just kind of gone along. Well, their senator decided this year he was going to try and go after that again. So what he did was he said, well, we're going to request the Gooseberry Narrows State Park. And, oh, and by the way, let's look at building a reservoir while we're at it. Well, thank goodness we had people in that committee meeting. We had Jeff Richens from Prywide there saying, hey, you're taking water that you want to use strictly for hay, and you're taking water that's being used by human beings. And we had someone there from the fishing people, and they said, this is a really expensive endeavor for the people of Utah to pay for that won't be used very often under the guise of trying to get water. Now, Senator Hinkins is the chair of that committee. There were only three senators there. It's kind of the nature of Senate meetings. But so it went down. Senator from that area voted for it, and of course, Senator Hinkins and the other senator, a Democrat, voted against it. But I was speaking with Senator Hinkins Friday afternoon. The senator from Sanpete County has decided, we'll come in and ask for a study. But he'll, again, have to go through Senator Hinken's committee, so I'm not so sure that's going to happen. So stay tuned. We'll let you know in a week or two where that truly lands and hopefully stops.
You know, like you mentioned, this has been an ongoing issue for the longest time, and it's something that kind of has been become a dividing point between Carbon County and San Pete County, of course, calling them the San Pete Water Thieves. So this is something that has been ongoing and now reaching a semi-conclusion, and it was interesting to see the three-person committee kind of have that bipartisan rejection, as you mentioned, Senator Hinkins and Senator Blue and the Democrat from Mill Creek, both voting against it. So it's always interesting to see how these things pan out. And right now it's going in favor of Carbon County.
Yes, and we need it to.
Now, another thing that is really developing up there on the Capitol Hill is a project with the East Carbon Coke Ovens. That's something that a lot of locals around here have known and love, and they've got some pretty exciting developments coming for it.
Yeah, you know, I went to East Carbon and the City Council meeting in 2024, and they said they'd been trying to get a hold of the people that owned the land. They wanted to get it. They didn't have the money to buy it, but they wanted to see if they could get it donated, but they hadn't been able to reach them. So I happened to be at the meeting. I said, hey, let me reach out and see what I can do. Now, you need to know, until then, I really didn't know we didn't own it. I thought somebody, the county, East Carbon, Sunnyside, somebody owned it, but I was alarmed to hear that we didn't. So I wrote a letter to the people there in New York, and they signed for the letter. You couldn't read the signature. You know how that goes. So I kept waiting to hear back from them and never heard a thing until November of this last November in 2025. And they called me. I was in New Orleans at a women's conference, and they said, we are just in the process of finalizing the sale of all the land around this. We have carved out 180 acres for you in Carbon County, East Carbon. And, of course, they're not going to donate the land. So we had some interesting conversations about, you know, the price, and he told me what he wanted per acre, which was $117,000 an acre. And so I said, okay, let me see what I can do. And so during the holidays, I was looking for grants. I called the county commissioners. They only wanted a couple of acres, really weren't too interested in it. And I'm like, we have to own this. This is historic. So the first day of the session, I went to one of our executive probe guys and representatives, and I said, let me tell you this. Let me show this to you. We need to buy this, and I know it's a year where we're cutting budgets, but we have a chance to buy this, and if we don't, it's going to be sold to the highest bidder, and fences will be put up, and it'll never be available for us. Well, I've been showing it to everyone. There's some excitement about it, and I negotiated on the first day of the session with the gentleman in New York, and we're going to pay $112,000 an acre, and then, of course, if there's any mineral rights and all that kind of stuff, it'll go with it. Probably not water, and we're fully aware of that. So I put in the appropriation, you know, the $112,000 an acre. The people are going to, if we can come up with the money, they'll pay for the survey. And then we added $25,000 to the request to pay the state parks and recreation department money to help us do everything that we need to do. Now, we're just trying to get the land purchased, and whether it becomes a state campground, a state park, all of that kind of stuff is yet to be seen. But the Historical Society said that they'll help us get it designated as a historic site, which opens up a lot of opportunities for grants. So in about 2 weeks, we'll know for sure whether we've got that funding, and we'll finally be able to have it owned by Utah.
And, you know, that's something that would be very important, because this is a part of not just Utah's history, but it's an important part of Carbon County history. I mean, dating back to World War II, these are something that really show the grit and the impact the coal industry had in our local area. So I really like the idea to buy these and keep them available to the public. That way we can preserve that legacy for future generations.
Yeah, I just think it's critical, and it's just kind of been a mission of mine ever since I found out about it. So I'm really excited about it, and we will be talking about this in the near future.
Now, another thing ongoing right now is appropriation, starting to finally wrap up that process as we get near that midway mark of the session. Where are we sitting in the world of appropriations up on the Capitol Hill?
Well, everyone, either today or tomorrow, are taking the final votes on what they want to approve to fund and what they want to cut, because we've been given the chore of cutting 5% out of our budgets. And so tomorrow is my committee. Like I said, others are doing it today. And I'm hearing some committees are really, really having a hard time cutting 5%. In my committee, we've been doing really well. My committee has the film industry in it, so anyone that's affiliated with that, we are not cutting anything to do with the film industry that's become critical to the state of Utah. But we do have some other areas that we feel like we can make those cuts. So, and what we do is we then make up these budgets, our staff puts it all together, they send it to the Executive Appropriations Committee, which has leadership members from the House and the Senate, and then they go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and they do make some changes, and then we meet with them, they tell us what they're going to appropriate and what they're not, and then we go from there to create a new base budget bill for the FYI, or, you know, the fiscal year, not FYI, fiscal year of 2027.
Now, early on, we mentioned that the hustle and bustle up on Capitol Hill is truly second to none, one of the shortest legislative sessions in the nation. Now, there's an idea being floated out there right now that would change the current format of how we run our legislative sessions, breaking it up instead of one 45-day general session, breaking up into three separate 15-day sessions. You know, you've served a long time in the state legislature. What do you think of this bill?
I'm not crazy about it. I like the way we do it. It makes sense, and we get all geared up for it. We get it done, and then everybody goes back to their lives. And I've been here long enough that I've dealt with or worked with people and other legislators in different states. I am not aware of any state that does this. Now, we have states that do it all year long. We have states that do it 60 days. We have states that do 120 days every other year. So we have a variety of things, but I am not aware of anyone that does this. For rural people, well, I think for anyone, it would just be tough. We'll see how the body receives it, but for me personally, from coming from rural Utah, just I like it during the winter time because you're not doing anything anyway. Maybe shoveling snow. Of course, we're not doing that this year. But I'm not in favor of it.
No, it feels like it's one of those things, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we're trying to fix something that really there is no problem to address there. Now, Representative Watkins, unfortunately, we are running out of time. But is there anything you want to leave our listeners off with?
Well, just know, pay attention, go to le.utah.gov. There's a wealth of information there. You can listen in on committee meetings. You actually can watch them and listen. So we try to be extremely transparent about everything we're doing. So if you have any questions, give me a buzz or email me, and we'll be glad to talk with you.
Well, Representative Watkins, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Again, our guest, Representative Christine Watkins of House District 67, giving this week's legislative update. And if you want to stay up to date with everything happening up on Utah's Capitol Hill, you can visit le.utah.gov, or you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.